Acts chapter 1. And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, this is a great verse. We started out our lesson on Wednesday night. We had a stretch where we learned how to study the Bible. And this is one of the verses that we broke down and saw how many things that we could find in this verse. The college students had found 600 different things to talk about in that one verse right there. The Bible says there, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, our fellowship, the singing, Lord, and just a privilege to be gathered together, your people in one place tonight. We ask for a pouring out of yourself, your spirit upon us. Lord, we know it's a request that we see Luke 11:13. You're not going to deny us if we ask for the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, Lord. And so we can rest on that promise. So we ask for that here tonight in our service and in our lives. And we'll trust you for the outcome. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. What a topic. What a topic. As a matter of fact, I got to looking at this. It might take me three preaching services of some kind to do everything that I really want. And it's not going to exhaust it anyway. You could probably preach on this topic every night of the week for a year and not be done with it. But I got it. I'm nowhere going to get near done what I want to do, and might take a few other nights to get it done. I think we need to know about the power of the Holy Spirit. I think I've said this before, and most churches would agree that Christians, you know, we're living far below the place that God would have us live. You know, we're not living in the power that we should live as Christians, and we're not getting done what God wants us to get done too. We're certainly not evangelizing the world. We're not witnesses in the world we should be, and in all the areas that you could cover about that. But you know, God has provided things for us. He's provided everything we need. We've got the Word of God. We have salvation. We have the Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling in us. I mean, you don't need anything else besides that, but he's provided everything that we need. And all we have to do is claim what God has for us according to the Word of God, what the Word of God has, and we can live at the place that God intended for us to walk. We can be in Canaan, not wandering around in the wilderness. We can be in the promised land, enjoying the fruit of the promised land, and not being in the wilderness and struggling to make it each and every day. The last two Sunday mornings, not this Sunday morning, but two before that, I preached on the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Word of God, I'm sorry, and the power of the blood of Christ, those two things. And tonight I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to know those powers are not separate things. They're not like, well, yeah, he's got the power of the blood, but he don't have the power of the Spirit. He's got the power of the Word. No, they're all together. They all go together. Everything works together. And we think about this. Those are connected. How do we know about the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, we know about that because of the power of the Word of God, by the Word of God. That's how we know it. Our text in 1:8, see what it says? It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Well, what are we reading? We're reading the Word of God. What is the Word of God telling us? That we'll receive, well, they're telling them on Pentecost they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came. Of course, the Holy Spirit fell then, and now when we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. I'll show you that in just somewhere along the way here. Romans tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're none of his. And so we have the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God has told us that. And so the Word of God is the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. You know, I tell you what, you think, well, you know, we got the Holy Spirit. Why in the world, why didn't the Holy Spirit just put all the Bible knowledge in our head? Boom, just like that, huh? I mean, now we know we're witnessing somebody, talking to somebody, and you're trying to think of a verse, and the Holy Spirit would just bring it up. Well, it works kind of like that, but you have to study the Word of God. You know, you study the Word of God, and you start memorizing the Word of God, and you'll know, you know the Word of God. And I'm telling you, more and more and more, the Holy Spirit can bring it to your mind. Now, God could do it another way, but He doesn't do it another way because He wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the word of God. And so He wants us to do that, to be involved, you know, in this. It's just a lot of things God could do, but He works through people. He works through men, and He chose to do it that way. In His sovereignty, He did choose to do it that way. And so, I challenged y'all like several weeks ago. I said, look, maybe it was a Wednesday night. I said, if you read the Word of God, if you're not reading your Bible at all, try reading the Bible every day. Do that for 30 days. It's not because 30 is some magic number. If you read it 30 days, it'll be a hocus pocus maneuver that God will work on you and you'll suddenly be more spiritual. It's just that the Word of God has the power to transform your life through the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. And then I said, if you're already reading your Bible once a day, try reading it twice a day, maybe in the morning when you get up first thing, and then right before you go to bed, read a couple of chapters. It doesn't take long to read. There's four. If you did two in the morning, two at night, you'll be through the whole Bible in a year's time. And just see. I mean, don't hold it to, well, 30 days is up, I'm going to quit. That's not what I mean. I'm just meaning that, you know, as we read the Word of God, you'll see an impact in your life. You'll see your life changed by that. It'll transform your life. You'll remember things. And I mean, I've gotten to where I like my Bible. I like to have a Bible. Some of these modern guys, I've been to some churches where the pastor had the Bible. He had the Bible on a tablet or something. And he's, I don't like that. It's okay. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing. I just like my Bible because a lot of times I can remember what book something's in, and I know what side of the page it's on, even which column on that page it's usually in, and I can hunt it down that way. And I can write in here and make little notes and scribble and spill my coffee and look, I had pizza one time right here. And, you see little remembrances of times gone by, right? And so I like to do it that way. But this is how reading the Word of God or studying the Word of God would be more a better thing than just reading the Word of God. It regularly transforms your life. This is how the Holy Spirit works in transforming your life through the reading of the Word. Ephesians 6:17 tells us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Another place tells us that the sword, that the Word of God is a two-edged, sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it divides asunder the soul and spirit. So we see the Word of God involved with the Spirit of God together. The Word of God tells us that it is the seed of the Spirit. You know, that you plant seeds, basically what we do when we give the Word of God out. And so if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our hearts, then we have to study the Word of God. That's how it works in our heart. And then if we want the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of others, we have to give them the Word of God. You know, we spend so much time with the lost trying to, I don't know what. I think the thing I've seen, and I've probably been, you know, well, there's no probably about it. I've been guilty of doing this, and probably every preacher has, and preachers I know, and even Christians guilty of doing this, is we're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Man, I mean, you know, boy, what you're doing is sin, and you know, this is wrong. You're trying to tell a lost person, man. I mean, you know, they don't, you know, that this isn't going to work. You know what we do? We can give them the Word of God. We can say, look, this is what God says. But of course, if they're not saved, they're not under that. But you can, you know, we can preach Christ, Him crucified, resurrected, written, what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was given, and their consciences were pricked. I spoke about that this morning. I mean, the power of the Word of God. They got saved is what happened. People got saved. And so I think we just have to, what we do, we give people what, this is what the Bible, this is what God says, not what we think, what God says. And we give them the Word. And now, you know, there, you'd think like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen, those, you can't magnify one above the other. You can't magnify the Spirit even above the Word of God, and you can't magnify the Word of God above the Spirit. Like I say, they're all one thing. The Bible said Jesus said He was the Word, right? He's the living Word. And so we don't, but they all go together. So what does the Holy Spirit have the power to do? This is the topic that it's hard to exhaust. Even going through the Bible. So I won't get done tonight for sure. May have something for you next Sunday night on this too if the Lord doesn't lead another way. What does the Holy Spirit have the power to do? Well, this is the main, this is a good one right here, and this is important in everybody's life and even with people that that are lost. It's number one, and I don't know if it's number one. I'm just number one for what I want to talk to you about. Reveal Christ. The Holy Spirit has the power to reveal Christ. This is the thing. You know, all kind of examples of that, but 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit." Well, I know, you know, right off, I remember the first time I ever read that, and I thought, well, shoot, anybody could say, Jesus is Lord, and people that, they have said that. I've heard people, they were lost as they could be. They might have been coming to church, made a profession, but they were lost, and they said, oh, yeah, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But saying it and being it is two different things. Amen. I mean, really say it experientially. Because only the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and His glory to man. The Holy Spirit of God really opens our eyes. I mean, we could tell somebody about Jesus. Man, but you know what? Like, trying to explain the love of God to a lost person. You're talking about a futile attempt here. I mean, you know, we just can't make it real enough, but the Holy Spirit of God can. The Holy Spirit makes that a real thing. And so we can try, but it takes the Spirit of God. That's why so much we talk about, oh, you know, you want to witness to somebody, you want to talk to somebody. Boy, pray for that person. Lift that person's name up. God's got to prepare their heart. God's got to deal with their heart even as you're witnessing to them. God's got to do the conviction. God's got to do the illumination in their mind and their heart so they know what you're talking about. And so the Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus and His glory to man. The word of God gives knowledge of Christ. Anybody can read that. Anybody with common sense. Listen, Satan has knowledge of Christ, right? But he hadn't been illuminated, I don't think, in the same way. Heart, mind, that kind of thing. The word gives knowledge of Christ, but only through the Holy Spirit's illumination can the word of the word, can men get real living knowledge of Christ? I'm talking about experiential knowledge. See, you could be, you know, there's people that's lost as they can be, man. They know doctrine up and down, one side down the other. You could take anybody that had, you know, any intelligence at all. They could be lost and teach them, go through a Bible college, and they could pass the courses based on the questions, what they learned according. That doesn't mean that they could not believe it, but say, well, I got to learn it to pass the class. And they could learn it and pass all the, and you ask them the right doctrinal questions, they could answer the doctrinal questions. But that's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit illuminating this where it's a reality, really understanding it from that point of view. Understanding it here and understanding it here, this takes the Holy Spirit. It's got to be revealed in your heart. It's a heart knowledge. Remember those Emmaus Road disciples on the resurrection day? Man, they knew who Jesus was. I mean, they were disciples. That's why they call them disciples. They were followers of Christ. They knew who He was. But what happened? After the resurrection, they were confused. They're walking down the road. Guess what? Jesus shows up on the scene. Hey, what are y'all talking about? They did not recognize Him for one reason or another. And they walked along, and they start telling Jesus about Jesus. I thought that's kind of neat. They're telling Jesus about Jesus. And he broke bread with them and all that. And it said, then their eyes were opened. Here they were talking to Jesus and didn't realize deeply who He was. They said, boy, didn't our hearts burn within us? Who caused that? It was the Holy Spirit of God. their hearts burn within them. See, like, you know, you can preach the Word of God and you feel the Spirit of God move and your heart burns within you, and the person beside you could be just cold as ice, dead in a doornail. I didn't get nothing out of it. You know what I'm saying? And that, does that happen? Oh, yeah. It happens. Because, you know, they're not receptive of whatever reason. I don't know how God, you know, maybe God did speak to their heart, but they ignored it, quenched the Spirit, grieved the Spirit, resisted probably more of the Spirit. But boy, when God opens your eyes, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something that reveals Christ. He does it in so many ways. Like I said, you can have a correct doctrinal conception of Christ through studying the Word long before you have a true personal knowledge of Christ through the testimony of the Holy Spirit. That's without, you know, in that fullness of Christ, man, so much becomes so clear. So, you know, you think about that, how like we, you know, and it's like going through, like in kindergarten, you know, we had a, I guess in kindergarten, maybe I'll go up a few grades. When you like learn math, you know, 2 plus 2, that's a small concept of math, right? Then you move on up to algebra and geometry and calculus and trigonometry and, I used to live next to a guy, lived in this old apartment. The guy was one of those guys, he was like a super brain, but I don't think he had a lick of common sense about nothing, and he didn't worry about nothing else. Nothing's decorated and all that. He worked on math problems that though take years, the Lamaze transform. He was trying to tell me, I was an 18-year-old, barely made it through high school kid. I was like, That's a concept of math way beyond the basics. And it's the same way with Christ. We can have a basic concept, but it takes the fullness of the Spirit and illumination by the Spirit to really know Christ. And is there a ceiling to that? No. Will we ever be done? No. But we can be so much higher up, you know, experientially. And that's all done by the Holy Spirit of God. So, you know, like I said, I'll never exhaust this main topic. I'll never exhaust the points in a year's time. So I'm giving you what we can get, right? The Holy Spirit, another thing, number two, convicts of sin. John chapter 16, and verse 8, the Bible says, and when he is come, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So really, how does the Holy Spirit convict of sin? This is where I think we went around it about a long time the wrong way, saying, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Just show somebody Christ. He'll take care of it.
Amen.
Just show somebody Christ. Like I told you this morning, you know, if when these people that a great fear, holy fear was created, and that holy fear is all a reverence for God that's missing in churches today. It was missing but because they didn't see Christ the right way. When we see Christ the right way, that produced Isaiah. I use the illustration Isaiah. Isaiah saw Christ. He said, "Man, I'm a man of unclean lips." Nobody said a word about his lips. Nobody said a word about his sin. All it was, he saw the glorified Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of him sitting on the throne. Right? John on the Isle of Patmos, he fell as a dead man. Nobody said anything, hey, you've been doing something wrong, you're a sinful man. But he saw Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals this, though. The Holy Spirit reveals, and the Holy Spirit, and that creates the conviction. That's what it said in the verses we just read in John. He reproves the world. He reproves us. And how does he do it? He reveals Christ's glory and his righteousness. It's like, you know, have you ever gone, my wife and I, we used to never could decide what color. We wanted to be bold in our color choices for painting a wall or a room, but we was chickens, see? So we'd get down there and we'd look at all these wild colors, and then we'd say, okay, what shade of white do you want to paint? You know, we'd get on white. when you wouldn't think that there's that many shades, but you can get one of them things, and this looks pretty white. You know, this is probably ultra bright, but you can get some other whites and put them on there, and you go, wow. But you can't tell it now. You know, you think it's really white. When you get one and you get another one, you go, wow, look at that. Well, that's what happens with Christ. Christ is so righteous, so holy. When we see him, we see ourselves. We see the dinginess, no matter how righteous we think we are. We see that. And so, you know, what happens is we used to try to convict men of sin ourselves, and you just have to let God do it. Sometimes just talk to people. You'll even watch, I think, going to a lost person to witness and just trying to talk to them about their sin is probably the wrong approach. Not totally wrong, but you just give them Christ. Keep giving them Christ. Huh? Listen, people have a conscience, and God put it in there. People have a conscience, and God gave it to them. You start revealing Christ. I like Pastor Frink's old saying, always pops in my mind. He said, you come down to the altar, and you're not sure what your sins are, just take a guess. You'll get it right the first time, every time, right? You just guess. And so, men, you know, when you start talking about righteousness and goodness, men's conscience, and the Holy Spirit works there, convicts them of that. You don't have to say anything about it. They know. And so this is what the Holy Spirit does. And, you know, we try to reason with people all day. Well, you know what, man? Oh, look, if you keep going down this path, you know, your life is just going to be, it's going to be bad, this and that. And we usually fail with that. That usually fails. Just give them Christ. Just give them Christ. The Holy Spirit will do the work. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, the glory of God was seen. And I, you know, think about this. And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And he preached Christ and him crucified, risen, and coming again. And the Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. Now, he did say, the Christ whom you crucified. There's probably a little conviction there. But this is, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, you know, men and brethren, what shall we do? Huh? What shall we do? And you know, Peter was able to point them to Christ that way. And so here's the deal, man. That's what our job is to preach the Word of God. We go out and tell people about Jesus, man. Just think, you ever been in you get around a bunch of people, and all of a sudden, maybe there's a group over there, and they got a buzz going. I mean, man, people are excited, and they're talking about, and you're like, you know, if you kind of, don't want to be too bold, you just kind of get over there and try to listen, see what's going on. Or you get in there and say, man, what are y'all talking about? If you saw some really excited people, say, what's going on, right? You even get grinning already. You don't even know what it is. what's going on? You know what? That's the buzz I think that the New Testament church had. I think the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2, I read this morning, when you can't read that but see that buzz. And it was so much excited. How did 3,000 souls get added to a church in one day? Because everybody got out, man. And they were just talking about Jesus and what the Lord did in their life. And they was excited about it. And they were happy. They had this joy. And these people, they might not have known, you know, they didn't know any depth to what they were talking about, obviously. But, man, it was just excitement. Well, man, I want to get it. You know, I want to find out something about it. I think that's what happened. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is involved in that, in drawing men. You know, we preach Christ, and this is what they did. So ours is to preach the Word, and the Holy Spirit, it's His job to produce conviction, man. That's all it is right there. We see that. And so we see the power. The Holy Spirit has the power to reveal Christ and then to convict of sin. And then the third thing, the Spirit renews Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration. Now, you got to be careful with that word, even with renewing, because sometimes people look at it like turning over a new leaf, but it's really a transformation. You know, I can't think of the word I'm looking for. But anyway, it's not like turning over a new leaf. It's renew. It's a rebirth. It's transformation, becoming a new creation, a whole new creation. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Man, I mean, it's a supernatural act. The giving of a divine nature, the divine nature of God that God gives us. Now think about this. Boy, if you don't have everything you need right there, what else do you need? Man, we've got a divine nature, the very nature of God. Now this is profound. Lay on your bed tonight and get that marble rolling around in there for a little while. Or if you like me, wake up at 4 a.m. and start rolling, huh? That the divine nature that God, that's transformed my life somewhat, really thinking about that. Like I say, when I pray now, when I'm walking, when I do my morning walk, I'm not praying to a God that's off somewhere else. I'm praying to a God I know's in me. Huh? I mean, man, he's right there. He's not far off. He's right there. Man, he's living in me. That God, that's profound, that God Almighty is dwelling in us.
Amen.
Huh? Whew. Man, I mean, there's all kind of places, directions you can go with this too. Man, you could go all up and down, you know. And listen, it's just giving us a divine nature. That's a supernatural thing. I can't do it, and it's God does it. And the amazing thing is, no matter how far away from God a person may be, there's some people out there we think, oh man, they'll never get saved. Good night, they're so evil and they don't have, but you don't know, man. I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter how deep into sin, how debased, how debauched, how degenerate they are. There's hope because of the power of the Spirit of God to renew. As a matter of fact, who's going to have a better testimony? Huh? I mean, somebody that's just been out there and God has got a hold of them and transformed them to where everybody that knew them was like, whoa, man. I shared with y'all before, but in case you weren't here, but years ago when Sherry and I, that's before I got saved even, but we started going to church. And we hadn't got married yet. And the pastor where we went, he's the one that ended up marrying us. We went, Sherry's mom would go, and we and her would go to a Wednesday night Bible study. I'll tell you another sad state about it. There's a big old Assembly of God. They did a little tongue talking in there, Paul, every now and then. Assembly of God church. And they run, man, they had 300 plus people in there on Sunday morning. Wednesday night crowd, we got more on Wednesday night than they had. They had the Wednesday night crowd in the Sunday school room, a little room you could sit in there from a church that size. People want to study the Bible. We went down there and studied, but they had a guy come, had these guys come from a prison, and this guy had gotten saved. He was a biker, rough and tough guy, man, motorcycle gang. He said, I mean, in the hardcore motorcycle club, you know. And but this guy had a glow in his eyes, and we had a dinner with him, and me and Sherry said, well, let's go sit with this guy. Sat across the table from him, started telling us his testimony. He said, man, I'm going to tell you something, man. He goes, you know, I was selling drugs, all kind of drugs and stuff. He said, I got busted. And, of course, I didn't change. He said, man, I just, you know, kept on. I had my court date coming up, but I kept on doing drugs, selling drugs, you know, living in. Man, he said, you know, we lived in this house, had a house and had all kind of, you know, stuff. He said, one night, he said, I fell asleep on the couch, and I dreamed that I was in hell. And he said it was darkness. It was just, there was chains, the sound of dragon chains. He said it just, in my dream, I thought it was hell. And I woke up screaming at the top of my lungs. And I forget how he got to a preacher or something. He found somebody, but they led him to the Lord, and he got saved. And he goes, you know, I got saved before I went to prison. I had to go to prison for a number of years, and he said, but I got saved. And he said, oh, people found out about it. And his friends, see, the friends, they said, oh, he ain't going to be no different. He ain't going to be no different. And he said, I did something. He said, I had a record album. It was my idol. He said, I had albums, record albums, all the bands, man, everything you could think of, Led Zeppelin, you name it, man. He said, I had a big whole wall. And everybody knew I loved them albums. Everybody knew how special they were to me. He said, I hauled them all out in the front yard of the place, and I poured gas on them, and I set them on fire and watched them burn. Everybody said, what in the world, man? They knew. They said, he done lost it. He done flipped out, you know. He said, no, but I got saved. And he said, I went to prison, and there's Christian people in prison, and the prisoners keep you straight, man. He said, the lost prisoners know a Christian isn't supposed to do certain things. And if anybody did anything, they said, look, you're supposed to be saved. He said, man, I didn't want to. And he goes, and I worried about things. He was getting ready to get out. He was still in prison, but he's getting ready to get out. He said, you know, my fear is, you know, I've been in prison, And he said, but, you know, I'm going to go back out in the world. He said, you can get into things in prison, trust me. You can get into them, but it's easier to stay awake. But he said, I'm going to go out in the world. He goes, and I'm praying. I'm just afraid, you know. I think I'm strong enough, and I just want to make sure. But I'm going to tell you what, the boy's porch light was on, man. His eyes were clear. His eyes were bright, man. You could just see. What a witness, man. I mean, man, this guy had been renewed. This guy had been regenerated. You'd have never guessed looking at him in a million years that this was the background that God saved him out of, man. I mean, what a testimony. I even remember his name. I just remember it plain as day. And pray, who knows, he might be a preacher by now, been a preacher. This was years ago, man. Like I said before, we got saved. And so, man, a supernatural act. And no matter how far, listen, the power of God can renew anybody, man. It doesn't matter what it is. From anything out there, we hear some wicked things, and people can get saved. And I mean, I know the Calvinists don't believe it, but I believe that God died for them as well. I mean, I can't find nowhere in the Bible where he only died for a select few. He died for the whole world. Oh, well, if he died for them, they're saved. Well, then they'd be born saved, and they wouldn't have to be saved. They'd have to put faith, and you can't put faith in something that didn't happen for you, right? Amen. Listen, indwelt by the Spirit. You know, Romans 8:9, here's the verse. Be ye not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. See, so you're not getting saved today, and then down the road you're going to get this, the Holy Spirit's going to be given to you. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Now, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That just means controlled, fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. That can happen. But you get the Spirit when you get saved, or you wouldn't be saved. And the Holy Spirit dwells in everyone who belongs to Christ. But listen, we can have the Spirit and still be a long way off from being full of the Spirit. Huh? Some people, man, I think there's people going through their Christian life, they've never gotten totally full of the Spirit. Never really felt the fullness of the Spirit. Didn't ask for it. Didn't seek it. Huh? Didn't surrender themselves to it. Too afraid what might happen in their life. What might happen? I might be up in front of the church talking. Or I might be, I might be a preacher. I might be a missionary. God might take me away from my job. Probably be the best thing that ever happened for me. If God takes you away, trust me, it's the best thing that ever happened to you, right? And so, it's a profound thought. It's a solemn thought, though, as well, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Bible says our body is the temple of the Spirit. If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. We're studying on Wednesday night. We've been going through Ezekiel, and we just saw the Jews got cocky and complacent because they thought there's no way that God's going to let anything happen to the temple. But guess what? They defiled the temple. And guess what God did? He destroyed it. And he pulled the Holy Spirit off. Now, I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. But I'm going to tell you what, you can lose your life if you get to be in a bad testimony for God. So our body is the temple of the Spirit. So not defile the temple. Now, we can defile the temple. We can defile our bodies. So we've got the power of the Holy Spirit reveals Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit convicts sin, and the power of the Holy Spirit renews. The fourth thing, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit gives satisfaction. Huh? Like they used to have the old Chesterfield cigarette commercial. Chesterfields, they satisfy. But you got to buy a pack of 20. Because you got to get a 20-pack or a carton, because when you get done with one, guess what? You ain't satisfied. they don't. Let me tell you what, there's only one thing, only one person that's satisfied, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Man, that water there is a picture. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit right there. And the Holy Spirit has the power to give abiding and everlasting satisfaction. Isn't that what we really want in life? We want satisfaction. We think, you know, you can go out and think, well, boy, if I buy this one new toy, I'll be satisfied. Nah, for a little while. Not long. Huh? If I get this, I'll be satisfied. One more job, one more promotion, one more raise, one more new house, one more new car, one more this, I'll be satisfied. But no, it don't work. It doesn't last. Huh? It's just a temporary thing. There's only one temporary satisfaction. There's nothing you're going to take. And listen, you know, boy, you've got Christ in your life, and then you're just going to say, well, I'm going to leave him to go off to something else and be satisfied. Never happened. And I'm going to tell you something. I think there's Christians that do that. They fall away from God, and they think they're going to go back out into the world, and that's going to satisfy them. And I'll tell you what will happen. They'll be a little, they'll have a little fun for a while, but way down deep inside, I don't think they're ever totally satisfied. And they keep going at it. Man, and some of them go full bore. If you could only get them to be that dedicated to serving God, if you could only get them to put that much energy into loving God, they'd be the number one Christians of the world. But boy, they run in the world, boy, full bore. But they get in church, everything's all meek and mellow, and they don't want to get too deep into it. But boy, they try to find satisfaction. Listen, Jesus told that woman at the well, he said, the people that drink of this water, they're going to thirst again. He's talking about the other water, but he said the water, even regular water, right? I got a bottle of water up here, been about to thirst to death all day long. Grandkids drink all the water up, and at least one particular one. And got it right here. Guess what? I'm drinking that water right there. And I've already been drinking on it. But you know what? I'll be thirsty again one day. Tomorrow. I'll be thirsty again. But the water of Christ, he said, no, you won't thirst again. And those without Christ, like I say, they're searching, looking, hoping to find. And there's even people that have Christ, but they think they're going to find some satisfaction somewhere else. And like I said, it's, and apart from the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be satisfied even as a Christian apart from the fullness of Christ. You'll still feel something. You're saved, yep. You got the Spirit, yep. But if you're not full of the Spirit, you know something's missing. You're right. And that's why you don't have the power, the impact on your sphere of people, your family even, because you don't have the fullness of the Spirit. And there's a difference. You know, but to be filled with what? How am I going to get full of this water right here? Got to drink it. Huh? How are you going to get full of the Holy Spirit? Got to drink it. Start right here. So you got to drink it, man. You're going to get full of the Spirit. Amen? Can't find satisfaction in the world. And then the fifth thing I want to give you tonight is freedom, Romans 8:2. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 7, 9 through 24 really explains what the law of sin and death is. But I'm going to give it up, sum it up to you in one big thing. We don't have to read all that tonight, but although that's a great chapter. It's the struggle of trying to overcome the world and the flesh and the devil and your own strength. Oh, and I did that for so long in my Christian life. I knew what to, see there again, not experientially. I knew what the Word of God said. Man, you know, my pastor was a Bible preacher, man. I mean, we was in the Word of God, right? We had to be in the Word of God. And you know, I knew what the Bible said. Don't do this. I knew all the don't do's, and I knew all the do do's, if you can say that. And I knew what we had to do, was supposed to do, and I'd try to do them. Tried my best. Tried to do them, and I didn't want to do them. Why didn't I want to do them? Because I wasn't full of the Spirit. My flesh was saying no, right? I would do them sometime, but not all the time. I failed a lot. Frustrating thing. Frustrating. I did a lot of my Christian life was that. And if you're going through your Christian life without the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, guess what? It's not a joy, number one. Matter of fact, it's worse than it was when you were lost. Because when you were lost, you didn't have a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. You know, you just went with the flesh. That's all you knew. But when you get saved, you got the flesh and you got the Spirit, and there's a conflict going on. But if you're not full of the Spirit, then you're not having any joy. It's not a happy time, because you always got this, you know, it's like living in a war zone. Why? Because you're living in a war zone. Living in a war zone is no fun. Them people in Ukraine can attest to that. Living in a war zone, man, there's always some kind of commotion, something disrupting life. Life is all disrupted. And you're also frustrated all the time because you fail all the time. How come I can't? I would think, man, I'm the worst Christian in the whole church. I sit there and think that. And I might have been, although I found out what some of the other people were in. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. But, but you know, I might have been the worst one. I mean, I struggled to overcome. I'm trying to get the victory over my own self, really more than any other thing. just myself. And oh man, it was a failing mess there. And so it's not a happy time. It's not a joyful time. It's not a very powerful time, because you always, well, you know, why is everybody walking around all the time defeated? Look like they're defeated. Because they are defeated. That's why you walk around looking like you're defeated all the time, because you are walking around defeated all the time. But boy, when you got the victory, right? I mean, the winning team's usually smiling, right? I mean, they're all happy. Huh? Watching that golf thing today. Boy, that boy was sweating bullets. This guy, he's always collapsing if you don't follow golf. And Brian, he gave me the update before, so I watched it this afternoon. And this guy's from England, and he'd get in the lead a lot, but he'd always collapse. Boy, today he got down in the last two holes. And I knew when he got down there, when that other boy didn't make that one putt, I said, he's got four shots. He can hit the ball from me to Leonard. He can hit it four times, and he's still going to win. If he gets it in the hole, he still ain't smiling. Man, huh? He was like, and I was in there. Boy, finally, when that thing went in, it was teeth everywhere, man, because he won. He wasn't sure about it. I mean, here it is. You know, when your team wins whatever, it's a smiling. When you win the war, you're smiling. You're not walking around defeated all the time. And that's the thing. That's the thing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the freedom from trying to win ourselves. We have the freedom from trying to obey the law. Because the law, all them ordinances have been nailed to the cross. That's the freedom that we have in that. It's the Christ life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ himself living in you, living his life through you. Huh? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lived within me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Huh? Galatians 2:20, one of my top verses in the Bible. Man, now it's his life. He's living his life in you. Doesn't get any easier than that, right? And so, don't try to do it. You can't do it. You're not going to be happy with it. It's a frustrating and failing life. And listen, God has to make it, you have to fail. God's involved in that deal. Because if you're doing it in your own strength and you succeed and succeed and succeed, you'll never trust him. You'll never surrender, I mean, fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you're doing it yourself. So God always works it out that we fail, right? Surrender to the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is follow his leading. It's simple. It's simple. And then we walk in his power and not in the power of the flesh, which really is no power in this sense. And you know what? I think people that never surrender or never experience the fullness of the Spirit believe that this defeat and failure is a normal Christian life. They've got this attitude. They've lost so much, kind of like the golf guy. They've lost so much, they think this is the way it's always going to be, and I just can't wait till God comes back, and then when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be like this. Listen, it don't have to be like this now. Huh? We don't have to wait for pie in the sky. We can have the pie here. It's the defeat and failure is not the normal Christian life. Amen. Huh? It's walking in victory. That's what the whole New Testament's teaching us, that we can walk in victory in the power of Christ. Boy, the power of the Holy Spirit, man, what a power this is. Thank God. We can thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And listen, I'm only a third of the way through what I want to say about it, so we're going to get some more of it down the road. Amen? Amen? Come on up here, Paul. I'm all done. We will pray that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Have an invitation if God spoke to your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, and again, for giving us the Holy Spirit, and help us just to rely on all the resources you've given to us, Lord, to walk in this world. We've got all we need. All we need. There's nothing else we need other than maybe surrendering ourselves to you fully. But we have every resource we need to live a victorious life in this world. Help us to understand that in Jesus' name.